Hi, hello, my name is Artem Moskovoy, and I am a writer and a journalist.
You have a book coming out called Spring in Siberia. Now, I've never been to Siberia, but I have the feeling that spring is a much anticipated occurrence.
That's it, and that's exactly the point, or one of the points of my novel. Yeah, the novel is about something long-awaited, but also something that is almost revolutionary in its force, and yet something beautiful and tender.
So this is a memoir in a certain sense?
In a certain sense, yes, or rather autobiographical novel, a non-fiction novel. I see it as just something I wrote, but now when it had to be defined for sale, it was labeled as a novel.
And in a short sentence, it's about growing up gay in Siberia.
Well, once again, yeah, it was my publisher's to put that phrase. I wouldn't describe it that way.
Okay.
I would rather describe it as a family story that happens during the gradual, painful collapse of the communist Russia and the emergence of the capitalist world, set in a provincial town and seen through the eyes of a boy who eventually, by the end of the book, comes out as gay. But the American publisher came up with a much easier to sell a kind of...
Growing up in Siberia as the USSR is going into dissolution, to me it seems that urban areas in Siberia are not particularly beautiful or wonderful to be in.
No, it's true. There are very few cities in Siberia, and by now people only live in the cities in Russia, like many other countries. A city surrounded by these vast and unfriendly forests that are not really hiking grounds either, you know. So, and the cities are industrial. Yeah, they were created, most of the cities, either as concentration camp sites or as industrial sites, or usually both, because laborers were working for the very factories or plants or mines set there. It is not something so beautiful as it might sound. Yeah.
And then as the country fell apart, things got worse.
Yes, much worse, because cities like mine, they were established during the Soviet reign, and the whole logic of life, again, the factories, the mines, they were Soviet, you know, inventions. Then everything had to be rethought, reinvented, and that process, which in a way was never finalized, was very troubled and painful, full of violence and crime, and the oligarchs that we have today came out as winners and the people as losers.
And in this, you were a cub reporter by the age of 16, and then you were the editor-in-chief by 26. This was the newspaper of the city?
Yes. So I studied at the so-called humanitarian gymnasium, where we had to choose our future profession at the age of 15, maybe. And at the same time, we had to start working part-time at the local newspaper, the city newspaper. Then I moved to the university, where I continued to study journalism. And again, I continued working for the same state-owned city newspaper. Yeah, and then by the age of 26, I was an editor-in-chief, not of the same newspaper, but of a magazine, not state-owned, more kind of glossy.
In the information about your book, which I read, is a description of the fact that you start a relationship with another boy, and he is actually the son of KGB agents. What age are we talking about there?
16, and it is my story, my actual first love story that I put there in the book.
And then you left Russia when they started legalizing persecution of gays. How old were you and where did you go?
I tried to leave. I dreamt of escaping. I planned, I plotted my escape ever since I can remember. In fact, my mother was preparing me for it when I was a teenager. She was the one who told me, you will have to leave as soon as you can. And neither her nor my dad had means to make that possible, so we didn't really know what is there to be done. But I was lucky enough that my mother understood the need, and I understood. I felt it, you know, it was so obvious that my classmates, my university mates, the city folk, made it obvious that I should not be there. And yes, I tried and applied for visas again and again and again to different countries. Sometimes I saved money to immigrate. Sometimes my mother took a loan to send me out. But again and again, I failed at establishing myself in another country for legal reasons. I didn't want to become an illegal immigrant, and I couldn't find a way to get a work permit or so. Anyway, so I did attempt to establish myself in Pennsylvania, in California, in Israel, in Ecuador, and then again in America, in New York. Finally, when I was 26, a bit older. I kept the job as an editor-in-chief in Siberia. I made a deal with them that I would work as a freelancing kind of editor. And at the same time, I applied for another bachelor at Luxembourg University here Europe. And they accepted me. And so I went back to school in Luxembourg. That gave me the grounds to ask for a residence permit in Europe. I was studying the English literature and at the same time worked more or less full time but on distance for the Russian magazine. Since then, that was a successful escape and I stayed there and I eventually, after 7 years, received Luxembourg citizenship.
So you're a citizenship from the Grand Duchy, but why are you in Belgium? How did you, of these six countries that you lived in, why are you in Belgium?
Yeah, well, Luxembourg was not... I'm very grateful to Luxembourg for allowing me this chance to be a European citizen. But it is not an easy place for a young person to live, I find. It's very small and narrow-minded, and I will not go into the details. Anyway, so I wanted to leave Luxembourg. Not as much as I wanted to leave Russia, but yeah. And there I met my partner, who worked and still working for the European Commission. And he made an effort, and for my sake, I think, asked to be transferred or found a job. Basically in Brussels. So I'm another trailing spouse, as we're called, as well as other things.
Now, you've held interesting different kinds of jobs. I see here movie extra, yoga instructor, magician's assistant. Where were those jobs?
Everywhere. In Luxembourg, I did, and here in Belgium as well, I keep doing movie extras, little positions. Yoga instructor, I worked part-time in Russia. In America, I did as well a little bit. And then I have an international waitering experience as well in Israel and in Russia as well. I don't know how I managed to squeeze all that into my less than 40 years, but I swear to God I did somehow. When I look back at it, it seems impossible, yet I don't come up with these things.
Do you think there'll ever be a time where you could go back to Russia and live a full life?
Full life? No, I don't think I will live a full life. I might come back, and even that, not anytime soon. To start with, voluntarily or not, I've broken a number of laws by now. Not only the gay propaganda law, simply me walking the way I am in Russia would be considered now an illegal act, a propaganda. Or me visiting my friends with children, and if my friends dare tell the truth about me to their children, they would also break the law. Now, by now I know people who were persecuted for it. An ex-boyfriend of my best friend just got a 8 years jail sentence. Ilya Yashin, he's quite famous, 8 or 9, 8 and a half years, I think, for sharing anti-war content on social media. He didn't even write it down. He just shared a post the way we do daily. So, and then I just simply don't want to go back. Whether things might change in the future, I don't believe that such dramatic change will happen anytime soon. And you asked if I could leave there, leave. I mean, that could only be possible if Russia legalizes same-sex marriage, because I don't want to live without my partner. That means when? We're so very far from it at the moment.
Now, you said that when you were 6 years old, factories started closing and people didn't know what to do with themselves, and you noticed that at that age.
Yes, it was. I mean, it was so obvious because my grandfather was a coal miner. It was just so evident. My both parents worked at a factory, and immediately our family, like any other family in Russia, I think all other families in Russia, had to face this very dramatic turn of events. What Gorbachev called at the time, we had to restructure our lives all of a sudden and to learn how to live in a market-based country with no market and no country. Yes, it was evident.
I wanted to ask you about poetry. Poetry was very important to you when you were growing up?
The novel is following the coming of age of this one child who is obsessed with poetry. He finds that poetry makes his life in this very turmoil country easier. In fact, he uses the poems as kind of prayers in the moments of crisis. The novel is about this very personal, very private little war that one citizen of this country had, or rather the country had with him. So in many ways, it echoes the current events and makes it easier to understand the Russians in general and how we could bring this crisis up. And at the same time, how even within the country, some people try to resist or at least try to find their own ways to survive it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you.